Beautiful. What a beautiful day it is today. Well, welcome to Grace Crossing Church. I had the privilege of meeting some of you, but if I've not met you, my name is Reed. I'm the pastor here at at Grace Crossing Church. Clay House Church was a church that we came from. So Grace Crossing Church. But welcome this morning. I just want to just welcome you guys this morning. And one announcement we did that I forgot to tell Justin is next week we're going to be starting a youth Sunday school at 9:30. So because I just noticed that there was some youth that did not have really a place to fit in. And so what we're wanting to start is a youth Sunday school. And then we're going to start doing some youth events so we can start doing some things for the youth. So next Sunday we'll be starting that, and then I'll have a date set up to do a fun launch of a youth group, and we'll see what God does from there. So we're just excited about that. Let me just open us up again in prayer this morning, just asking that God would just speak to our hearts and would speak to us this morning. Oh Father, I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for such a beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, that we can praise you with our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And we just pray and ask that your Spirit would come and that your Spirit would just work in our hearts and lives. And so, Father, we thank you. Come, Holy Spirit, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, I did an introduction to the Gospel of John, and it is for the next, I don't know how long, we're going to be going through this incredible journey through the Gospel of John, verse by verse teaching through the book of John. And last week, I shared a little bit about the calling of the Apostle John, how Jesus came to John, his brother James, to Peter, to Andrew, who were fishermen, who were not the smart of the smart. And Rabbi Jesus came and he called these men to come follow him. Because remember last week I shared that when a student would come to a rabbi since 5 years of age, studying and memorizing the whole Old Testament, when that disciple would come to a rabbi, the rabbi would question that disciple, would question him and question him. And then if the rabbi believed that that disciple was smart enough and was able to be just like the rabbi, he would say, come, follow me. And we see that John, James, Andrew, and Peter, and many of the other disciples were not the smart of the smart, but Jesus came to these men while they were fishing and said, come, follow me. And for 3 years, John followed Jesus, for 3 years approximately. He followed Jesus, he saw the miracles, he saw all these incredible things. And one thing John discovered, as we talked about last week, was in the Gospel of John, you never see John's name. Instead, he refers to himself in two ways, either the other disciple, or he referred to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. John knew that he was the one whom Jesus loved, and that changed and transformed his life. And as we begin this journey through the Gospel of John this morning, as we begin this incredible journey, I want to say, may we follow in the footsteps of our Rabbi Jesus. Because when Jesus called them, what he was saying to his disciples, you can be just like me. You will do what I do, you will walk like I walk, and you'll see throughout their life that Jesus will send them out. They will do miracles, they will do these incredible things because he wanted to teach his disciples to be just like him. And I invite you this morning, as we begin this incredible journey through the Gospel of John, may we follow in the footsteps of our Rabbi Jesus, may we be covered in his dust, and may we come to discover that Jesus, that we are the one that Jesus loves. Could you imagine how your life and my life would be transformed if everything we do, we can say in confidence, I am the one that Jesus loves. But many of us here, some of us here, question if God truly loves us. We question if God has a plan for our lives. But He loves you and has a plan for your life. If you have your Bibles, open to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 this morning. John 1, 1 through 5. And let me just go over that passage. John, beginning his gospel of John, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things are made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men." And life was the light of men. John begins this incredible gospel, kind of almost a little confusing if you first look at it. What is he talking about here? He begins at the very first, "In the beginning was the Word." What is he talking about here? If you look at the word, it's in the Greek, it's logos. It's an idea of, it's translated as we see here, word. It can be translated as speech, language, a message. So right here it says, "In the beginning was the Word." It's kind of like this abstract idea. Because if it means like a message, it kind of means speech, like there's some type of message that's going to be portrayed to us. In the beginning was the Word. In Greek philosophy, it was like an abstract force that brought order and harmony to the world. It was logic, reason, in Greek philosophy. The idea, and what I mean by abstract is, you ever have an idea that you can't quite grab onto? It's an idea of, it's a thought or idea that doesn't have any physical or concrete existence. It's kind of abstract thing. And John begins this gospel, "In the beginning was the Word." And what's interesting here is that the Greeks really got it. They would understand, "In the beginning was the Word," the idea that there's some abstract force out there, something, there's reason and logic in the universe, and it kind of brings everything together. But it's still kind of mystical in a sense. And also, to the Jew, the idea of the Word and the Word of God was very relevant in the Old Testament. Do you remember, it says, "In the beginning here was the Word." In Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God." And what did He do? He created. In the Old Testament, we see over and over where the Word of God has power to give life and to create. We see that throughout the Old Testament. In Psalms 33:6, it says this, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made." Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." So this word logos meant something to the Greeks. He had the idea of Greek philosophy, but it also meant something to the Jews who understood the power of the word of God in the Old Testament. So this gospel was not only written to the Jewish people, it was also written so the Greeks would get it. That in the beginning was the Logos. And if it stopped here, I think it would still be this abstract idea. But John begins to unfold, like if you took a microscope and you put something underneath the microscope. You ever try that? Sometimes it takes a while to get it clear. So we see in these next verses where John starts clarifying who this word is. In the beginning, God. So in the beginning, there was something. The word, a message, something was to be presented to us. And then he continues to go on. "And the word was with God, and the word was God." Now he's under the microscope starting to make what this kind of confusing abstract idea. Now it's becoming a little more clear that now this thing, this word that was at the beginning, he was with God. And he was God. The idea that this word was different and unique from God, but also God. It's like this confusing, and this morning's message is not on the Trinity. That's a whole message in itself. We're focusing right now in the Word, but here John is starting to clarify something. There's a Word that was from the beginning. He was with God. He was a unique being, and what I mean by being is something that exists. He was a unique being, but he was also God. So what he's saying here right now at the very beginning, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's really saying, okay, there is a unique divine being, this Word. This Word, this message, this Logos was a unique divine being. But at this time, it's kind of a little bit unclear. Okay, the Word, this message, and he was with God. But then he was God. Now, what is John's? He's starting to come down. He's starting to clarify what he wants to say. And then he says the same statement again. He was in the beginning with God. This unique divine being was also an eternal being. A being that existed at the very beginning with God, and he was God. He existed there at the beginning, before creation, before any life here on earth. He was with God. John is beginning to clarify. It's coming down. This idea of Word that is so far mystical at the beginning is starting to clarify that there's a unique, divine, eternal being that was unique from God, but was God. And then as he continues, he says this about him. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So, this unique, divine, eternal, creator being. That if this divine being did not create, nothing would exist. He is a creative being. He created this world. And as if we look into the Old Testament, it talks about this creator is one that creates things visible and invisible. The things in the spiritual realm as the things that we see and we touch. He created all things by the word of his power and his might. So this unique, eternal, divine, creator being, if he did not create, without him nothing was made that was made. And then John continues, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This unique, divine, eternal, creator being has life in itself. Not only physical life. We see at the beginning where God could take something and create something. Do you remember at the very beginning in Genesis what happened? Do you remember in the beginning when God took the man, took him out and he formed him, and it said that he breathed into him. And in Genesis 2:7, it says this, then the Lord God formed man out of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And in the King James Version, it says he became a living being. Think about this. Not only did he give physical at the beginning, you see God creating things from the earth, creating things in heaven and on earth, but also in the spiritual. There's physical life we see that God gives, but in the Bible it teaches about spiritual life, that there's something inside of us that's dying. There's something within us that needs life. So this unique, divine, eternal, creative being has fullness of life in himself, both of the physical and the spiritual life. This being. So now we're coming down. It's really getting clear now, more specific, that it's just not some vague mystical thing out there in the universe, but it's specific. And here is where John clinches it. This is where John brings it to a focus. In verse 14 of John 1, this is where he clarifies exactly who this person is. This being. He says in John 1, 14, for you to jump up just to that verse, it goes, and I'll just start, I'm just going to read part of that verse. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He became a man. Now just think about this for a second. This unique, divine, eternal, creator, life-giving being is a person. A man. You ever hear that in churches? Like sometimes they talk, if they ever talk about the Trinity, they go, you know, three persons, one God, the idea of personhood, the idea that when we say someone is a person, they have a mind, they have emotions, they have a will. Yet God, Jesus, became a man. He was fully man and fully God. And so he is a person. We can know him. We can have a relationship with him. We can talk to him. He could speak to us as we see in his word. We can know him as a person in a personal relationship. Just like I have a relationship with my beloved, with my wife. We can have a relationship with him. Yes, it's different. He is a perfect person. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we can have a relationship with him. It's different because he is beyond us in many ways. And his ways are not our ways, but through Christ, we can know him in a personal, living, life-changing relationship. He is a person. I think that changes so much. He is a person, and we can know a person. That's what's different from so many other gods in Greek theology and just all this in the Greek and the mythology and all this. The gods were out there and all these things. This is a God. He's fully man and he is God. And we can know him. And it leads me to the question this morning. Do you know him? Let me rephrase the earlier verses. Let's put Jesus in how we rephrase this. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God and was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. All things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. In Jesus was life, and life was the light of men. In verse 14, and Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, the living Word of God, the living representation, the exact image of God the Father. And in Christian teaching, we talk about God the Father, God the Son, the God Holy Spirit. And that's a different message in itself because we're focusing on this person of Jesus this morning. But he represents God and what God is like. If we want to know what God's like, let's look at Jesus. If we want to know God, we go to Jesus. He is the one that we get to know. He is the one that could change our lives. Let me just read some verses from some of the different writers about Jesus. Paul wrote in Colossians 1:15. Let me just read this to you. 1:15. It says here, talking about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Then everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell. In him, all things hold together. If God was to remove himself from this world, all things would fall apart. The very breath that we breathe is in him. Do you remember what Paul did when he came and he was speaking before the Greeks? He goes, in him we live, we move, we have our very being. In God we exist, we breathe, there's life, there's love, and it all comes from God. And if he was to remove himself from our presence, all things would fall together. He holds all things. And he was talking about Jesus, that through Jesus, he holds all things together. In Hebrews 1:1-3, it says this. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The exact imprint of his nature. How many of us sometimes view God as angry with us? I went through a season, I thought that one time, that I almost would have to do things to earn God's love. Jesus shows us as we go through his life, as we walk through his life, we can't do it on our own. We need Jesus. Amen. And without him, we are lost and wandering in the desert, thirsting and starving to death without him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In Colossians 2:9, it says this about Jesus, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is head over all rule and authority. But sometimes we look, and sometimes to know God, Jesus as God, we need to know Jesus as a man, as a person. Warren Wiersbe said this about Jesus, the Word was not an abstract concept of philosophy, but a real person who could be seen, touched, and heard. How many of us in our lives, at different stages of our life, God is there, and we say that we believe in God, but He seems so distant. He seems so far away. We go through seasons of life where we are at that place. I think if we're honest, we've gone through seasons where, God, I know you're there, but I don't see you. Oh, God, where are you? He's here. He's present. He wants us to know him. He wants us to hold through those hard times until we encounter him. He's a person. You remember what John wrote in 1 John 1:1-2? He goes this, that which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest to us. John is talking, you know what, we've seen it, we've heard it, we've touched it. These men, John, walked with Jesus on earth. He traveled with them. They went, they slept together, they ate together. When you were a disciple, you gave up everything to follow the rabbi. You would go, you'd lodge where the rabbi lodged. You would eat where the rabbi ate. You'd do all these things. So when he says he saw, he heard, he touched, he's telling the truth. Do you remember after the resurrection of Jesus? Do you remember how when Jesus appeared to some of the apostles and they told Thomas, oh yeah, we saw Jesus, huh? And Thomas looked at him and goes, I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to believe Jesus. When I go in and I put my hands in his wrist and his nails, if I put my hands in his feet and on his side and I see where he was pierced, I'll believe. And in history, he's known as what? Doubting Thomas. But do you remember what happened that day? He was in the upper room and Jesus appeared amongst them. And in the moment, he looks at Thomas and he says, Thomas, come here. Come put your hands right here. Put your hand on my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believe. What did Thomas do? Said that he fell down at the feet of Jesus. And he goes, my Lord, my God. So when John here is saying about touching and seeing, they saw the nail prints. They saw and touched. They saw them. Could you imagine going over? He's alive. The living Word of God. The exact image of God. We want to know God. Let's look at Jesus. He is the full revelation of God, and his love for us is in Jesus. But there's one aspect of Jesus that I think we need as his people to know. It says in this gospel, it says here in this gospel, the word life in this gospel is used 36 times in the Gospel of John. 36 times. More than any New Testament book. Don't you think life's kind of important here? In this gospel, as we go through the journey, we're going to see the life of Jesus. In this gospel, 36 times. In this gospel, we will see Jesus giving physical life and spiritual life. Do you remember in John chapter 11? And Mary and Martha lost their brother Lazarus. And Jesus goes and takes Martha to the side. Martha comes out to Jesus and he starts talking about Lazarus, about there would be a day that Martha would see Lazarus again. And Martha goes, oh, I know, in the future I'll see Lazarus again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus looks at her and he says in Matthew 11:25, I am the resurrection life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And what happened? He went. He was talking about resurrection life there. Spiritual resurrection life. But to show that he had authority, not only of the spiritual and also of the physical, he goes there, roll away the stone. Martha's like, oh, no, he'll stinketh, as a King James Version would say. Oh, by now he's been in the tomb 4 days. Oh, he'll stinketh. Jesus goes, did I not tell you if you believed you'd see the glory of God? And they rolled away the stone and he called out. And the man who was dead came out and he was alive. We see the power of Jesus giving both physical and spiritual life. And do you remember in John 3:16, as we get to that section where he says, oh, for God so loved the world, in John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, there's a day, you guys, that we will get on. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are given eternal life lives inside you. Because Jesus is eternal life and his Spirit lives inside us. It says in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this wholeness of life lives inside you. And you begin eternal life, not after you die, you begin it now. But will ultimately experience it both in your spirit and in your body, when your old body's cast off and you have a new body in Christ. A body that does not feel pain, that is not sick and will not need to weep, because we'll have our new physical bodies. Perfect bodies. Jesus can give spiritual life. He can take that which is dead and bring it to life. He can make something that is old and new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And in this passage, he says, in him was life, and life was the light of men. Jesus had life. Life was a light of men. When I think of a light, you ever go in a cave? When you're in a cave, there's not, you know, sometimes you go in dark places in your house, there's that little light that kind of comes in, you kind of see where you're at. Years ago, with my brothers, we'd go up to the ape caves, they called them, in Washington State. And we'd go along, and we'd take our cameras, and we'd go in, we'd play around in them, and we played this game. And this game was we'd flick off the lights and see how far you could go without hurting yourself. So we'd flick our lights on, and people are kind of screaming as they're hitting these rocks right in their shins. And there were some areas that we'd send my sister-in-law up ahead saying, if there's any, like, drop, will you let us know? And so we'd just play this game. I know it's stupid. Okay, we're guys. But we'd be flick our lights off, and you're talking about pitch black, no light. As you're stumbling along, and you go complete by feel, and you're going, and we're screaming as people are falling, and doing stupid things that guys do when you're younger, but the idea of darkness and light, that light expels darkness. Light expels darkness. Light reveals things so we can see clearly. Light also brings life to things. Sunlight. Things cannot exist. And in the same way, we are lost in darkness without Christ. Examine your own hearts this morning. Do you feel lost? Do you feel no purpose? Do you want something that's old to become new? Something that's dead to become alive? It's a lie. That's only through Jesus. He can give life and give it abundantly to all of us in Christ. He is all that we need. For Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. And the idea of light coming over and exposes things. And Jesus even talks later in the gospel about light, and people that don't like cringe away in darkness. The idea of, ooh, I don't want that because it reveals who I am. But how many of us, maybe at one time in our life, or we gave our lives to the Lord, we were in darkness, we were lost without Him, and the light of the gospel, the good news came forward, and we wanted to cringe away, but something inside of us goes, oh, I want life. And instead of running in the corner, which so much of the world does, because they don't want light, we went and we fell down, goes, oh God, forgive me. And the light of the gospel comes in, and we come, and we encounter the cross. We encounter what Jesus did for us, and all of a sudden we go, oh, there's hope. The free gift of salvation, it's hope. And we gave our life to Him, and we were changed forever. Because here John says about the Word, the Word was unique, the Word was divine, eternal, the Creator and fullness of life is in a person, Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is our everything. When John writes this gospel, that's one of the main things he wants you to know. He says in John 20, verse 31, he says this, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. And in 1 John 5:11-12, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And eternal life is in, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the life, has the Son, has life, and who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Do you believe this morning that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe this morning? Do you have life in you? Or is there death? As we have the worship team come forward, do you want life Do you want this life? You know, I had an interesting thing happen this week. My son, when he was very young, he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. But as he's growing, there's some things he hears. He goes, "What's that?" And this week he goes, "Dad, what's the gospel? When you say the gospel, what's that?" And you know, I said, "Well, son," I said, the gospel of Jesus Christ is this, that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead. That if you place your faith in him, you are saved. The gospel translated the good news. That's the good news. And Calvin goes, oh, I did that. He's never heard, he didn't know what gospel meant. What's the gospel? If you place your faith in Jesus, he will cleanse you from all sin and give you this life. Romans 10:9 says this, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus wants to give us life. I was thinking this week about life, and that scripture popped in my mind from John 7:38, and it says this, whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Do you want that living water this morning? I just want everyone just to bow your heads as we get ready to pray here. And I just want to ask you a question this morning. Maybe you are wondering this morning, well, I did go to church a lot and I did certain things, but I don't have that life in myself. I don't have it. This morning, you can have this life live inside you. It's a free gift. It's free, but you need to give your life to Jesus. And if that is you this morning, and just with all of your heads bowed this morning, if you want to accept Jesus and you want to say, yes, I want Jesus to be my life. I want to make Jesus my everything. I want to go from death to life, from something old to being something new. If that's you this morning, with all eyes closed, I just ask that you just quietly just lift up your hand and say, I want Jesus to be my life. I want Jesus to be my life. Thank you. You put your hands down. If you raised your hands, I asked, if you raised your hand this morning after the service, that you'd meet with me and my beloved wife, and we'd love to talk to you. But this message is not for only someone that has not received Christ as their Lord and Savior. What about you? Maybe you've walked with God, and you can open your eyes. Maybe you've walked with God. But you've gone through some hard times. Maybe you come to a place where you believe, but man, there's areas in my life that are dead. And I need the resurrection life infused again in me. That happens in a Christian life. We get bruised up and we fall. And there's times that we need to say, Jesus, infuse me with life again, please. I need your life. It's not life that's given once. It's life that's continually given through Jesus. We may say, I feel dead. I feel lost. I feel lonely. Jesus, give me a fresh touch of your spirit this morning. And as they close in the song, I ask you just to bow your head with the Lord or in your own heart with God. Come before him. Say, Lord, this is the area of my life. Give me life in this area. Give me life that I might become alive again. Let me just close in prayer, and as they worship, just come, and in your worship, come and lay that area before the Lord. Let me just pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, you are good. You are faithful. You are just. And we just thank you, Lord, that you love us. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, show us that you are our life in a deeper way. And infuse us, Lord, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.